It's a fairly regular occurrence for new and alien creatures to appear on our landscapes, in our gardens and in our homes. In fact, recently, we spoke with Lydia Rose from Bandon in County Cork, who reported the first recorded sighting of a bryony ladybird in Ireland.
It was evening and we'd just finished dinner and I was letting one of the cats into the kitchen from the back garden. And when I opened the door, something flew in with the cat and it caught my attention because I could hear a sort of clicking sound, like similar to a beetle flying around up near the ceiling. So we took it down and took some photographs, and I'm on the Irish Ladybirds Facebook page, and the lady who runs that, Jill Wayman, came out the next morning and collected it, and she identified it then when she was here as being a bryony ladybird.
But what's far more rare is the discovery of a new insect order. An order is the umbrella under which related species sit. They include beetles, flies, bees, wasps, ants, butterflies and moths. So there's great excitement now with the news that the first confirmed new insect order in 100 years has been discovered in Britain. The last one being the stick insect, which was found in Devon in 1909. It was Andrew Salisbury, principal entomologist at the Royal Horticultural Society, who identified a strange new colony at the RHS Garden in Surrey. And he told myself and Richard Collins all about it.
Well, I mean, it's web spinners. It's a whole order of insects that hadn't been recorded in Britain before. And they're a special little group. There's about 400 species worldwide that have been described. And they're unique in that they produce a web from their front legs, their tarsal segments, their feet, as it were.
And how are webs normally produced, or where do they normally come from?
Most insects and spiders produce their webs from their rear end.
So these are not spiders?
These are not spiders, they're insects. Spiders are a completely different group to insects, a different class of animal entirely. So this is an order of insects. So it's sort of like saying beetle or true bug or butterfly and moth. So it is an entire order, a large grouping of insects.
Now, can you describe exactly what you found?
Well, what was found was, first of all, one of our members of gardening staff brought into me some orchid roots, which they had noticed were covered in a webbing. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, what's going on here? Is it mealybug or spider's webbing? So I peeled it apart and this creature popped out. And I thought, oh.
What's this? What did you know?
Well, I did know. I did realise what they were quite quickly, but I had to sort of keep quiet for a moment because the only reason I knew was by chance I'd attended a plenary lecture at a conference the year before by the world's expert on these creatures. And that is the only reason I knew what they were.
Andrew, did you hope that it was one of the many of this order that have not been described so far? Or were you a bit disappointed to discover that it was one of the ones we knew about?
To be honest, I was just amazed that we had them in Britain. And yes, I mean, it is estimated that about half the species of this order haven't actually been described, but we had great difficulty. It took us about 3-4 months sending specimens around the world to even get the identity we actually ended up with.
So in other words, you had to go out to tender sort of thing and get various experts to say, oh yes, this is such, that's that genus and that's such and such a subspecies or blah, 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 blah. Is there a DNA profile of these things in existence? Could you not do it that way?
Not that we're aware of, and of course when you've got so many species that are not identified or not described, then even that might not be particularly useful. And what we actually had to do in the end was not only send specimens to the USA but also images, go through keys, and you could only identify these things by looking at the external sexual characteristics of the males.
Well, what do they look like? Not the external sexual characteristics of the males necessarily, but the entire web spinner. But presumably you just found 1, 2, 4. How many were found?
We describe it as a colony.
Okay.
So web spinners, they live in colonies. So they live underneath this silk webbing that they produce, which is typically laid in sheets, and they live under it in sort of tunnels that they've created. And females look after the young. So they look after the nymphs until they're almost fully grown. And you can get a great many of them together. It's very difficult to estimate how many we've got, but we've certainly got tens, if not hundreds, in one of the glasshouses at Wisley. And only the males ever leave the webbing. And they're the only stage which is winged. And they don't feed as adults, and they leave, they mate, and they die.
But what do they look like?
What do they look like? Yes. Well, I've actually discovered that they're quite difficult to describe. They're elongate, generally brown insects. I guess a skinny earwig is one of the good descriptions I've come across. About a centimetre long. But the males have full wings. They have a wing, brown wings, which go along the full length of the body.
And where do they normally live?
The species we've got is a tropical species. Its species name is Sulli lonica, which is relates to where it was specimens first described from, which is the island Ceylon, which is now, of course, Sri Lanka. So it's a tropical species. It's quite widely distributed in Thailand. But there are species that are found in places like the Mediterranean. But in northern temperate areas, they're really unknown.
They're long, narrow things. Of course, they have to be. Yep. If you live in a tunnel, then I suppose you have to be long and narrow to fit in the tunnel. But it seems to me, in some ways, it must be rather inconvenient because you can't turn around. You only point one way. You say the females never actually leave the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Now, the male presumably has a tunnel, has he? And he goes and leaves it and heads for the female. But how does he manage to copulate with her if she's... in this sheath? Does he go around the back of the tunnel or something? He can't go in reverse or something, can he?
Yeah, I mean, having observed them, yes, a lot of their movement is restricted into these tunnels, and they do seem to be able to go backwards, only really be able to go backwards and forwards. But there do also seem to be some wider areas in the tunnels where they can turn round, and they are actually very, very flexible creatures from my own observations. And of course, the males do stay in the colonies until they are fully grown, and then they leave.
Well, now, why do they leave at all? I mean, why do they fly off at all if they're just going to walk over to the nearest female tunnel and copulate with her?
I guess it's to, so they copulate with not their sisters, basically. So they go off to copulate with an unrelated web spinner female.
To avoid consanguinity, in the famous phrase of Charles Darwin.
I think so, yes.
So to avoid incest, I'm going to have to fly away and get some lady that I'm not related to be my partner, shall we say. But then the poor old males, they're on the hiding to nothing, aren't they? They simply heel over and die afterwards, isn't that right?
That is right for an awful lot of the web spinner species out there. Basically, the adult males don't really have functioning mouthparts, so once they've used up all the energy they have in finding mates and mating, that's it.
To come back to the female now. She's in her tunnel and she's mated. Now she lays eggs. Does she lay eggs in her tunnel?
They generally stay within their tunnels. The eggs are laid, the nymphs hatch out from the eggs, and she looks after them. And it's been shown that they need to stay in those tunnels. It protects them from the environment, rain, and other environmental conditions, and predators from actually getting at them. And it's also been shown that if you remove the female, the nymphs are less likely to survive.
Well, the poor old nymphs, they're inside in the tunnel. How do they feed? Does she grab food for them in some way?
I think that they're generally feeding on stuff that's in the tunnel, the ends of the tunnel. So they're generally feeding on decaying organic matter, algal growths, fungal growths, and occasionally a bit of living vegetable material.
Well, now, does she drag the tunnel around with her to fresh pastures when she's hungry, looking for nice new juicy bits of fungi or whatever to eat?
I think they just generally expand the tunnel system. So the tunnel system is overlaid with the species we've got over the roots of the tropical orchids, and they just expand the tunnel system. So they're constantly weaving and expanding it.
So you say system, that means her sisters and cousins and all are in tunnels. She can go and have coffee with them, sort of thing, can she?
I think they are. I mean, a large number of them are interconnected, and with really big colonies, you could actually see, you know, whole root systems of these tropical orchids are covered in the webbing.
Now, she does all the work, really. I mean, he's just a sort of lights the match, you know, to ignite pregnancy or whatever. He's kind of, he doesn't really matter. But she does everything then. She lays the eggs, she raises the young, she feeds the young, she has this huge social system where she connects with all kinds of other ladies. That is very sophisticated. We're heading for termites and Hymenoptera now, from a different order. I mean, that's a very interesting development in itself, is it not?
It is. I mean, they are orthopteroid insects. So even though they're a distinct order themselves, they do fit widely in the Orthoptera. So they are closely related to the stick insects, the cockroaches and the termites. And yes, as you pointed out, the sort of social systems of the insects have evolved more than once. We've got them in the termites, which are basically social cockroaches, and in the in some of the bees, the ants and the wasps, which are a completely different end of the insects entirely.
So they are the top echelon, really. They are the intellectuals of the insect world in a funny kind of way. Now, you have this nice colony, an unusual colony. Normally, we would hate things from outside. They're an invasive species, but they're not one that threatens anyone.
Well, not yet. Does anybody know?
Are you going to foster this colony and
help it grow?
Help it grow.
Well, I mean, send specimens
and groups of it off to others.
Are you allowed, moreover?
Well, I mean, probably not. It is, yes, as you say, an interesting situation. Of course, the first thing we did when we realised we had a colony of web spinners was contact the relevant authorities, which in the UK is our Animal and Plant Health Authority, and they talked to what's known as our non-native species secretariat, and they made an assessment. It is a non-native species. It's in the UK. Should we be doing anything about it? So an assessment was made. It was decided that as it's feeding on decaying organic matter in a tropical glasshouse, it's unlikely to get out of there. It's a tropical species. That we really wouldn't do. There was really no need to take any action. So on the other side of that, of course, that being a non-native species, we're also not going to do anything to particularly encourage it. So we certainly won't be trying to send them out to other gardens or encouraging other gardens to have them. That's not saying we think we're alone. I mean, just because we had a very keen-eyed member of staff and an entomologist who was there to actually spot there was something different going on, doesn't mean that it's not in other orchid collections elsewhere.
Now, you're in a unique position to be able to say, I mean, how many creatures like this are out there that we know nothing about? Because most people don't give insects a second look. And even if they do, they don't know what they're looking at. I saw a thing which said that if an entomologist spent his entire life from cradle to grave looking at the insects, and he covered every insect in the world, he would have something like 7 minutes for each one. Now, with that enormous range of insects, it is impossible to know them. I mean, you must encounter insects you don't know. Even you, with your expertise, you must encounter strange ones all the time, do you?
Well, yes. I mean, that's part of the joy of the job. I mean, I'm fortunate with the way I work at the RHS Garden Wisley that people send us things in to try and identify. And we do occasionally get things which we haven't seen before. Sometimes, unfortunately, they turn out to be new plant pests of the country. Other times they turn out to be incredibly interesting things, such as the web spinner, or no real problem. But yes, I do see things new to me, and that's part of the joy of the job.
So you're a kind of judge with a wig on. You're sitting up at the bench, and each insect comes up, and you declare whether he's guilty or not guilty. And if he's oppressed, he's guilty, and exterminated, the death sentence, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul. But this one is benign, so you're letting him off with the probation act or something.
Well, it's not his decision. He had to inform the authorities, and they declared it a non-native species, an invasive species, correct? Do they decide, the authorities or you, whether these things stay alive or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's important that we do pass on, when we come across these things, the information onto the authorities, and then they make an informed decision. It's up to them to decide whether it is something worthy of to control or to leave alone.
So what was the decision here?
The decision here was basically to leave it alone.
Oh.
No, there we are. You informed them, of course, didn't you? I mean, you went a bit that. You're too modest to say that. But then you had never heard of it before, and you told them what it was and how benign it was or something like that, I'll bet.
Yeah, well, they were quite excited when we told them we had the colony too. The entomologists at the laboratory, the FIRA laboratory, which actually tries to identify these things, were quite excited. But they were also stumped at its identification. And that's where we realised we had to talk to researchers around the world, including in the USA and in the Philippines, to get it identified. It is currently largely confined to one of our service houses, so it's in the tropical orchid collection, which is behind the scenes at the moment.
Well, make sure nobody opens the door. And of web spinners, I mean, they don't like the cold, do they?
this species particularly doesn't. I mean, it is restricted to the full tropical zone. Mm. So, and that's one of the reasons why the assessment was made, that it probably isn't going to be a problem in the UK, and therefore eradication measures don't need to be taken.
Oh, well, listen, the very best of luck to you. Thanks for talking to us, Andrew. Much appreciated.
No problem.